हे वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 31 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Gopyakamad bhayat kangso Dveshaj chaidyadayo nripaha Sambandhad vishnaya snehad Yuyang bhaktya vayang vibho Gopya kamad bhayat kangso Dveshaj chaidyadayo nripaha Sambandhad vishnaya snehad Yuyang bhaktya vayang vibho Translation My dear King Yudhishthira, who's speaking? Speaking to Yudhishthira? Someone said doubtfully, Narada. Yeah, Narada. My dear King Yudhishthira, the gopis, by their lusty desires, Kangs, by his fear, Shishupal and other kings, by envy, the Yadus, by their familial relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas, by your great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. Purport. Different persons achieve different types of mukti. Sayuja, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, and Sarshti. According to their own intense desire, which is called bhava. Thus, it is described here that the gopis, by their lusty desires, which were based upon their intense love for Krishna, became the most beloved devotees of the Lord. Although the gopis at Vrindavan expressed their lusty desires in relationship with a paramour, Parakiya Rasa, they actually had no lusty desires. This is significant of spiritual advancement. Their desires appeared lusty, but actually they were not the lusty desires of the material world. Chaitanya Charitamrita compares the desires of the spiritual and material world to gold and iron. Both gold and iron are metal, but there is a vast difference in their value. The lusty desires of the gopis for Krishna are compared to gold, and material lusty desires are compared to iron. Kamsa and other enemies of Krishna merged into the existence of Brahman, but why should Krishna's friends and devotees have the same position? Krishna's devotees attain the association of the Lord as his constant companions, either in Vrindavan or in the Vaikuntha world, Vaikuntha planets. Similarly, although Narada Muni wanders in the three worlds, he has exalted devotion for Narayana, Aishwaryaman. The Vrishnis and Yadus and the father and mother of Krishna in Vrindavan all have familial relationships with Krishna. Krishna's foster father and mother in Vrindavan, however, are more exalted than Vasudev and Devaki. This is an important verse. Every verse in Srimad Bhagavatam is important. Krishna Tulla Bhagavat Vibhu Sarvashray Prati Shloke Prati Okare Nana Artha Koi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Srimad Bhagavatam is just like Krishna, all powerful, gives shelter to all, and in every verse, in every syllable, there are so many meanings there, but still, some verses can be considered especially important, inasmuch as they have some specific philosophical teaching that is important for us to understand. And this particular verse that we just chanted together, this is also cited by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to demonstrate the point that it demonstrates, and similarly in his Bhakti Sandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami. This all has to be understood through proper devotees, otherwise it will be misunderstood. And very likely to be misunderstood. The word karma here is a common word. It's one of several words which appear repeatedly in Bhagavad Gita. Jahi Shatrum Mahabaho Kama Rupa Durasadam. It's described as being the great enemy, which Krishna tells Arjuna to conquer over this enemy called lust, this Durasadam, very resilient, difficult to overcome enemy. But here in relationship with the gopis, it should be understood to be very strong desire, but not motivated by any material motive, not connected with any material motive. That's the general definition of lust. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam. Krishnendriya priti icha dhare premanam. Kam is defined as that desire for one's own personal sense gratification. And prema is defined as the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses. But here in this context, it has to be understood as a feature of their of the gopis' intense love for Krishna, very strong desire to be with Krishna. So in this way, it has to be understood properly. Otherwise, we might, if we don't understand this through the teachings of the acharyas, then we may think that the gopis and kamsa are on the same level, because the whole point of this chapter is titled in English, "The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone." So if he's equal to, you love Krishna or you hate Krishna, it all comes to be the same. That's not exactly the point. It's not all the same. There are differences. Yayata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajami aham. As we act toward Krishna, he reciprocates. So if we act with love for Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate with love. If we reciprocate with hatred, Krishna will reciprocate not exactly with hatred. There may be some appearance of that, because of course Krishna killed Kamsa in a very humiliating way, just by punching him, dragging him. So it's very humiliating, but ultimately Kamsa, here's in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says he merged into the effulgence of Brahman, into the existence of Brahman. And here is mentioned Shishupal, his example is given in this chapter. But he is only one of many kings who are very envious of Krishna, very hating toward Krishna. The point is that they all got purified by coming in contact with Krishna. Krishna was merciful toward all of them. But he reciprocated as they desired. The gopis desired to love Krishna. The gopis desired to dance with Krishna. So Krishna danced with them. The enemies, those who conceived themselves as enemies of Krishna, they wanted to hate Krishna. Krishna doesn't respond by hating. There's no hate in Krishna. But he gave his mercy to them as much as they could take it. They don't want his full mercy. They don't want to dance with Krishna. So he just sent them to cool off in the refrigerator. That means he put them in the impersonal Brahman. Of course, in the case of Shishupala, specifically said that he reattained his original position as the doorkeeper Jaya. But that's the general idea. So it's given here as a generality that those who are killed by Krishna, by Narayana, they attain liberation. So this is to be understood. The Vrishnis, by their familial relationship, the Pandavas, they also had a familial relationship, but not in the same way as the Vrishnis. They were removed cousins. Removed in the sense, that's an English term. They say cousin, one place removed, two places removed. So as maternal cousins, they didn't have such a close familial relationship, but they had very deep love for each other, natural love for each other. When Krishna and the Pandavas first met, there was a natural awakening, a natural awakening of love between them. It wasn't on the family relationship, not only because of that, because for that matter, the Pandavas and the Kauravas, they're all in the same family also. They're all cousins also, but and the Pandavas were always willing to be friendly toward the Kauravas, with the exception of Bhima. He wasn't so friendly. In fact, Bhima would have killed them all long ago, but Yudhishthira, he was very tolerant. Very, very, very tolerant. Otherwise, Bhima, after they poisoned him in his youth, he could have just killed them all right then and there. He would have been justified. But Yudhishthira tolerated and tolerated and tolerated, and it was Krishna's desire so that everything would, just like the pus in the boil, would build up and build up and build up. And then when it all became ripe, the time was ripe, then the battle of Kurukshetra took place and so many kings were killed all at once. Anyway, the point is that Krishna, he deals with everyone equally. That's the point given here. It doesn't mean that they all get an equal result. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example that the judge is sitting in the court and one person comes in, he sees his case and says, okay, now you go to prison for 20 years. Someone else comes in and says, okay, now you get awarded 2 crore rupees damages. They never give 2 crore rupees. 2 lakhs, maybe. That's more realistic. So, is the judge, what's he doing? One person gets 20 years in prison and the other person gets he's given some reward, not exactly reward, but some monetary compensation or whatever. No, he's impartial, he's equal. Samohang sarva bhuteshu name dvesho stinapriyaha. He has to be impartial when dealing with everyone. That's why if it's found out that in a jury, or if a judge is to judge a case, or there's a jury who have to judge a case, then if it's he may recuse himself. That means he says, well, actually, this is my friend, so I can't judge this person because I'm biased by friendship. Or this is, I already hate him, so I shouldn't judge his case because I'm biased. So if he's biased, then he has to recuse himself. So Krishna is equal to everyone. That's the whole point of this chapter. But he deals with everyone equally, impartially. It might seem that he's partial to his devotees, but he loves everyone. But he deals with everyone for their own best benefit. Just like a father, if a son is very obedient, responsible, then the father may say, okay, you take half my estate and you manage it. And another son is just some vagabond. He may, the father may arrange, the son is a criminal, the father may reveal him to the police. You go and arrest him. Why is that? For his, he does, not that he hates the son, but for the son's benefit, so he doesn't cause more harm to himself or others, the father may arrange for him to be punished. So he loves all his sons, but he deals with them differently, according to their need. Sometimes we have the idea that mercy means you just get whatever you want. But that's not real mercy. Real mercy means that one who's in a position to help you deals with you in a manner according to how you may be ultimately benefited. That's the difference between Ashutosha, Shiva, who is very easily satisfied, and Krishna. Ashutosha will give you whatever you want, even if it's not good for you. So many demons, they worshipped him. And they got benedictions by which they caused great harm to themselves and others. The examples are there. Ravana is there, Vrikasura, and so many others. But Krishna, his mercy, yasyaham anugrihnami harishye taddhanam shanai. Who gets my mercy, Krishna says, I take away their wealth gradually, tato dhanam tyajantyasya swajana dukha dukitam. And then all his friends leave him. Seeing him and his relatives, seeing him so in such a poor position, they just leave him. I just read yesterday in Back to Godhead magazine, in the computer, the story of one man who bought some books from one of our devotees, and he looked like a little crazy because he couldn't keep his balance. And he said, I'm very interested in these books because I have nothing in my life, but the only hope in my life is spiritual, because some years ago I had some accident and now I can't keep my balance. I'm always falling over. And my friends left me. My family left me. I've got nothing. So that's what happens in the material world. They just abandon you. Of course, in any good culture, the family's members shouldn't abandon someone because he's physically or even mentally disabled. But that generally happens. So Krishna says, I show my mercy by taking away. And Shiva, whatever you want, you take it. So Krishna, he's actually the benefactor of all living beings. So with this conviction that whoever comes into contact with Krishna will be benefited, Krishna is the benefactor of all living beings. Suhridam sarva bhutanam, the best friend of all living beings. He's not only the best friend, but he can actually help them, because he's also Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He is the proprietor of the whole universe, all the planets within the universe. So he can help us. We might sit here and imagine ourselves to be loving everyone in the universe, but our love doesn't help them much. Just sitting and saying, "Ah, yes, I love everyone. I'll radiate love." It doesn't help them much. But Krishna can actually help us, and he does help us. The first way he helps us is to give us knowledge of who we are and who he is. If we try to help others in illusion, then that's not actually helping. The whole material world is some big illusion, in as much as people think that whatever gives them pain is actually pleasurable. Somehow they've convinced themselves. That story is there of the people on one side of the river. They carry big bundles of stones in sacks on their backs. They carry them around with them. Have you heard this story? We used to have dramas about this. It was actually came in Back to Godhead magazine. It was written by Hanuman Prasad Poda of the Gita Press. He put an article in the Back to Godhead magazine. How there's on one side of the river there are people, and they walk around holding big bundles of rocks on their backs. And whoever can carry most rocks, they're considered very prestigious. But it's simply painful to carry rocks around. And on the other side of the river, people are living happily. Sometimes people come from one side of the river and they look over the other side. And the people on the other side, they say, come and join us. And they think, yeah, that would be nice, they look so happy. But I can't get across, I'll drown if I carry these rocks. So how can I go across without my rocks? So they don't go. And the people on the other side of the river, they just throw away, you just throw away the rocks and you can easily cross and you can come with us and be happy. Give up my rocks. I work so hard to get all these rocks. I'm well known in society for being a great rock holder. So the example is Krishna is calling us to the spiritual world where we can be happy, but we don't want to give up our material attachments. That which is harmful for us. And we become disturbed. If anyone says, give up your rocks, they think, oh, it's a very bad person, very dangerous to society. Very, very wrong thing he's doing, saying these things. But that's what devotees do. They've given up their rocks, or they're in the process. We're supposed to have given up our rocks, but secretly we put some on our back. Now, I hope no one sees. Hope none of the devotees see. Or we may pretend, so that we can fit in with the rock holders better. We say, it's better preaching if we carry lots of rocks around us with us, and then people will think, yes, they're good people. So we should also carry lots of rocks. But devotees, they teach what they have learned. Give up your rocks, give up your material attachments. It seems like it's good. Oh, when I carry lots of rocks, people praise me like anything. So good, so wonderful. But actually, it's just causing us pain. Yehi sang sparashaja bhoga dukhayonya evate adyantavanta kaunte anateshu ramate buddhaha. Krishna says, and it's a fact, we're not just saying it dogmatically, that this sense enjoyment, which comes from, what does that mean, sense enjoyment? It means the pleasure that is perceived from interaction of the senses with the sense objects. It's simply a burden. It's simply a cause of distress, both in the beginning, in the middle, and the end. When we're looking for rocks, it's a waste of time. And we may have to fight with others to get those rocks. We're carrying them is burdensome, and the end result is what? Just we get strained back, permanently damaged back. There's no benefit. So the same way, material desires, no benefit whatsoever. Therefore, an intelligent person does not take pleasure in these things. So we preach this, come to Krishna. Somehow or other come to Krishna. That we find in the next verse. The last two lines which Srila Prabhupada, he often quoted, he usually said it, how yena tena prakarena. That's how Srila Prabhupada quoted it. Usually, tasmad kenapyupayena mana krishne nivishayet. Somehow or other, by any means, one should think of Krishna. One should get Krishna in the mind. We don't go around preaching to people, hate Krishna. We preach to people, love Krishna. But some people, when they hear about Krishna, they'll become inimical. But even their becoming inimical is beneficial for them. The example given in the next verse, I won't get into it too much because you have to speak on that tomorrow, is of Vena. He was rascal number one, but he wasn't liberated because he didn't think of Krishna. So it's not just by that, by becoming a demon that you get Krishna's mercy, but some in relationship to Krishna. That is the point. So we try to bring others in contact with Krishna, with the conviction that by doing so, they will be benefited. To preach, it requires conviction. If we go out and say, maybe. No, it's not going to work. We're not going to convince others unless we ourselves are convinced. The reason we have these classes is so we may become convinced of what we are doing. All our preaching, our practice of Krishna consciousness, it depends on conviction, firm faith. Yes, I am eternal. I am not the body. I am an eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's based on that conviction we can practice Krishna consciousness. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mang buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna says that I am the origin of everything. Everything emanates from me. Those who are convinced of this, they worship me with their intelligence and their feelings. So it's not blind faith. We may have very strong feelings. Just like the chief minister of Tamil Nadu recently died, and people are feeling, but you won't get any transcendental benefit, and actually no benefit of any kind, by feeling remorse or feeling affection towards a person who is not on the transcendental platform, a materialistic person. So it's a feeling, it's a very strong feeling, but it's misplaced. We should have affection for Krishna. That's where our affection should be placed. So we're preaching to others. You're worshipping politicians and sports stars and TV stars and who knows what else. There's some bogus gods. Then they may worship themselves, they may go to the gym and do exercises and look at their body and see how strong it is. Or for the ladies, they can go to the beauty parlor and they can look in the mirror and think, oh, how beautiful I'm looking. And in the modern age, the women also go to the gym and the men also go to the beauty parlor. They have their hair done in different ways and their nails trimmed and all kinds of nonsense. So that's self-worship. They like to think, oh, I look so wonderful. What's wrong with everyone else in the world? Why don't they recognize it? And if others do recognize, oh, if someone becomes a big film star, or big politician, and wherever they go, there's police escort, and people are, huh? They say, oh, their ego goes up, oh, boom, 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 boom. And then again, they die, and then again, punar mushiko bhava. Then again, they become a mouse, literally. They have to get deflated. So we have to preach it, we have to be convinced. So these classes are meant for this. To be convinced that what we are doing is what we should be doing. Because the whole world is doing something different. There are so many lakhs of people in Salem, and there's only a few here who are sitting here and hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna. Only a few. Most of the people, they think, well, we should get a Sunday. It's time to sleep later, except for the women who have to get up and cook the meat. Sunday is meat day. So our life is completely different. So we have these classes to convince us. If we hear Srila Prabhupada, his lectures or his talks, or even his singing, we'll hear how he's completely, you can hear it, completely convinced. It's infectious. Of course, we might listen to a politician. They might speak, and they sound completely convinced also. So it's not just a matter of being convinced, but we should understand also, buddha bhava, with intelligence. We should understand also. You can be convinced about the wrong thing. So we should understand. Srila Prabhupada, he was speaking in a way to bring us to the same point that Arjuna came to. Krishna said, iti matva. Those who accept this, bhajante mam, they worship me. And Arjuna said, I agree. Sarva metad ritang manye, yannang vadisi kishu. Yeah, I believe you, Krishna. Yeah, it's right. I accept. It's true. You are param brahma, param dhamma, pavitram, paramam. You are the supreme. You are the source of everything. You are the supreme abode. I accept it. Arjuna was convinced. In the beginning, he wasn't convinced. He wasn't convinced either of his own idea, Nayotsya. He told Arjuna, he told Krishna very strongly, Nayotsya, I'm not going to fight. And then afterwards he said, I'm not really sure. So Krishna explained to him, and Arjuna, he kept on asking the same question. I can't understand, kept on saying to Krishna. So Krishna went through karma yoga and jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, and at the end he said, anyway, just be a devotee. Yogi namapi sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yamam same yuktatu. Just be a devotee, that's all. You're already a devotee. What are you thinking about going off and being a yogi and all this big talk about karma? Just forget it. Just chant Hare Krishna, that's all. And shoot, mama nusmara yudhyacha. So that's for you. Arjuna said, just chant Hare Krishna. Oh, that's a good. No, not for you. You can chant Hare, you can come back later as Ramananda Rai and chant Hare Krishna. But in the meantime, you've got to shoot those arrows and kill those people, including Bhishma. You don't want to kill him. You can make an excuse, if you like, and say that it's this, what's her name, his name? This was Amber in the previous life. Shikhandi, yeah. You can cite him if you like, but it's actually your arrows that are going to kill him. So, you have to do it. So he convinced Arjuna. Lucky for us. All we have to do is sell a few books. We don't have to go out and kill people. At least it hasn't come to that yet. But we have to be convinced. As Prabhupada was convinced. That is the qualification to be a devotee. What is the very basis of devotee? The first thing, ado shadha. That's the first thing. Shadha vanjan hoy bhakti adhikari. One who has faith is eligible to perform devotional service. And what is that faith? Shadha shadde vishras kahe sudhrita nischoy. Krishna karma koile sarva karma krita hoy. Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. The faith that I don't have to do anything else. I only have to serve Krishna. That's all I need to do. Whatever I may think I have to do, it's all included. Everything is there in Krishna consciousness. So this conviction, one is convinced about the goal of life, that I am meant to serve Krishna. And everyone else is also meant to serve Krishna. Therefore, we live our lives centered on Krishna. Krishnarthe kila cheshta. All endeavors simply for Krishna's sake. Everything should be done for the pleasure of Krishna. Exactly how that works out in our life, we have to see. Because as long as we're living in this world, then we have so many obligations to it. So many things to do, physically, for the body, socially, so many responsibilities may be there. But a devotee learns how to do everything in the service of Krishna. He knows that I don't have anything else to do with this life. Only serve Krishna, that's all. There's nothing else. That's the only thing to do. So he doesn't cultivate anything except Krishna consciousness. It's not like I have a little Krishna consciousness here and then something else. I do Krishna consciousness, and then I have my holidays. And holidays, I put on some sunglasses and go to the disco, and no such thing. There's no holiday. Take a break. All the time. Want to be completely absorbed. That is the meaning of gopya kamad. By the gopis, from their intense desire. Tivrama, yeah, that's the word. Tivrena Krishna. Tivrena, what is that verse? Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. So, a very intense desire. So that we want to cultivate. A very strong faith, conviction. That we won't get swayed by others. So someone says, why are you practicing? Just take it easy. You can do bhakti and you can enjoy yourself also in this world. But then, what is that? But then if we read Bhagavad Gita, then we'll find, well, there is no material enjoyment. Then they say, I don't bother to read Bhagavad Gita. You just chant Hare Krishna. That's all. You know, no need all this philosophy. And that's true. We agree, Bhagavad Gita. But usually you have to take it step by step. You see, shanai shanai uparamed, buddhya dhuti. See, Krishna says, take it step by step, gradually. But he also says, buddhya dhriti grihitaya, with intelligence and determination. He doesn't say step by step and then you just wander around here and there with it. No, with intelligence and determination. And that's for Ashtanga yoga, what to speak of bhakti yoga. So one is convinced then he's not swayed by other, all these bogus ideas. So many bogus ideas. What is a bogus idea? Any idea except that we get in Prabhupada's books. That's all bogus. Any idea. That if we can't find a... if we can't find that it's supported by Prabhupada's books, then we know it's bogus. That may say, well, that's fanatical. Well, you can say like that. But Krishna says, Mame kam sharanam braja. Surrender to me only. Everything in this world is useless without a connection with Krishna. That should be our conviction. And if we're clear like that, then we won't get misled. It's very easy to get misled. Tivrena bhakti yogena. That is required. In intense devotional service. But others may say, no, Prabhupada said 16 rounds, 4 regulated principles. Hey, that's all, that's enough. You don't have to be so intense. It'll turn other people off. I mean, think, oh, okay, let me relax. But then by relaxation, that means to willingly allow ourselves to not be, willingly allow ourselves to have something else other than Krishna in our life, then our conviction about Krishna becomes less, and then our adherence to 16 rounds and 4 regular principles, that also becomes less. And then we reinterpret, and everything gets worn down. We should be becoming more and more and more intense in Krishna consciousness as we go. And that's the meaning of advancement, isn't it? Advancement, we talk about the gopis, but to become advanced means to become like that, completely, intensely absorbed in Krishna. Advancement doesn't mean that we go forward a bit and then we think, oh, this is too much. And then we relax. The relaxation means we allow Maya to come in. So if we're convinced, then we won't be swayed by all wrong ideas. We can recognize what is good association and take that good association. We can recognize if someone says some bogus things. Yeah. We can write that, no, this isn't right. This is not going to help me. That Maya is always there that makes us think that something seems nice. But if it seems nice, we should apply our intelligence. Nateshu ramate buddhaha. Apply our intelligence to see, is this going to be nice or not? Because Maya fools us. So that in the beginning, Yatadagre Vishami, no, it's the other one. Yatadagre Vishamiva Parinam Mitopamam. That's the, in the mode of goodness, that which seems like poison in the beginning becomes nectar in the end. And the mode of passion is round the other way. That what seems like nectar in the beginning becomes just like poison. So we have to apply intelligence to understand this. That intelligence, we have to keep it sharp by regularly hearing and applying ourselves to this process. All the deviations in Krishna consciousness come because we're not convinced. Because we're not committed, and therefore someone dreams up some idea, and others say, oh yes, very good, very nice. And then many others take it up and say, oh, you see, many are taking. Many are following, so it must be right. This is again the same Maya, as thinking what everyone does, because many people do it, it's right. But we have to find out who is properly on the path and follow that. Not just because many people do it. We don't want to hear the real message. If we don't want to be convinced, We prefer, oh, then we'll listen to this, whatever, someone has got some new idea, just relax in Krishna consciousness. Don't follow too seriously. You do a little here and a little there. But this will spoil our Krishna consciousness, spoil our whole movement. We may say to some that you just, all right, you do what you can. But that we say to people after we've tried to bring them up to the, let them know what is the proper standard. The proper standard is full surrender to Krishna. If you're not going to do that, all right, then they come once a year and bring a few flowers, if that's all you can do. You come on Janmashtami and bring some flowers for Krishna. All right, okay, for you, good. But that's not, that we don't go around working hard, printing books, distributing books, and people read the book and say, well, now what do I do? You come once a year to the temple and bring some flowers. We don't say that in the beginning. If you can't do anything else, then you may do that. But we want to bring people to the highest standard. If we say, you just bring flowers to the temple once a year, they say, oh, okay, that's all right. Okay, no problem. We may get millions of people doing that, but actually we won't get anyone doing it, because we ourselves, we won't get any taste from preaching like that, and people will think, so what? What's the use? If that's all you have to do, then there can't be anything very substantial about it. What else did I want to say? Yeah, so we have to be careful to hear regularly, take it seriously, be convinced, don't be misled, don't be cheated. It's very easy to be cheated, just like we read here, Gopya Kamat. Oh, the gopis had lust. Oh, so I can also have some lust. See, I can be Krishna and I'll find some gopis and tell them, you see, it says here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we may think, well, that's absurd, that's a ridiculous example, but that was there in Bengal. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur were preaching so strongly against this. In the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings about the gopis, people were openly and shamelessly cultivating illicit relationships. I've seen in my travels in Bengal. It's much reduced, it seems, by the influence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but still, there, at least in the 1980s when I was traveling in Bengal, sometimes you'd see Guru with all his, surrounded by his seva dasis, his maidservants, their spiritual relations, whatever. So, and people thought, yeah, it's all very good, you see. It's guru and disciple, so it must be spiritual. It means they never heard Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure devotee. Then someone may quote Gopya Kamat, the gopis by their lust, they attained Krishna. So they may think, okay, now you cultivate lust. And so I have to help my disciples, but they have to have some object of lust. So I'll be the object of lust. And this way, cheating. Once this cheating starts, there's no end to it all. So convince means to be convinced in the message of Shastra. In Shastra also we have a description of the elephants holding up the universe and the tortoise holding up the universe. So you may say, well, doesn't sound very realistic. No, doesn't sound very realistic according to modern science. So, we accept Shastra. We have to be convinced. You won't see the diggajas, the elephants that hold up the universe. You won't find them in any telescope. We don't have the eyes to see them. But we accept the description of Shastra. Sarvam etad vitang manye yan maang vadasi keshava. And there are all these intricate points we have to understand. We have to hear very clearly and understand how the gopis, their lust, it's not mundane lust. The word is used because it appears to be like the lusty feelings of a young young woman for a young man. We may think, well, the gopis and Kamsa and Shishupal and the Vrishnis and the Pandavas and Narada, they all got the same result, so it's all the same. But not exactly. Even the gopis, how they approached Krishna, they didn't get the same result as the Vrishnis. Even though the love of the Vrishnis for Krishna is unlimited, but the love of the gopis is more so. So all these points have to be understood by Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by regularly studying and discussing this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non different from Krishna. And if we hear from devotees, actual devotees, then we will be like them convinced. And then, Sadhya Hridaya Varudhyate Takritipi, if we are following properly and nicely and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna will manifest to us through these teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this very important verse requires much discussion, but I'll finish there now. Hare Krishna. Any question about this?
You see, sometimes people think about knowledge, everything has some special mercy. Like you were explaining in the lecture, that Guru Kripa, he came up with this kind of ideas. Even sometimes among devotees also, I mean, as you explained today, study of chakras, discussing about the scriptures, and you know, hearing from properly hearing and discussing from authorities.
Special mercy, you get some shortcut. Well, special mercy means that the actual symptom of special mercy is that we give up all material desires and we become fully surrendered to Krishna. Mercy doesn't mean that we engage in material desires, that means we didn't get mercy. What's the symptom of getting mercy? Special mercy doesn't mean that we have a license to go on with sense gratification and at the same time become advanced. It's something like saying a square circle. Sometimes atheists say that. Can God make a square circle? But it's a meaningless proposition, because a circle, by definition, is not a square. It can't have any angles. Whereas a square has four angles. So in the same way, if you be fully Krishna conscious, and at the same time have sense gratification, material sense gratification, it's meaningless. So the idea that you get special mercy means that we may be very fallen, but then if we get special mercy, that means we should come out of that situation. But the mercy is manifest for everyone with the process of devotional service. We all have the mercy if we're willing, but we have to be willing to take it. The mercy to follow the process of devotional service and gradually become purified. So you can tell, what is the symptom of mercy is that one becomes freed from material desires. Parama Karuna, special mercy, most merciful. Pahun Duijana Nitai Gaura Chandra, most merciful avatars. We can... Paramakarana Pahundvijana Nitai Gaurachandra Sabha Avatar Sara Shiromani Kevala Anandakanda. This is their mercy, that their process is simply joyful. But to avail that mercy, that special mercy is there for everyone, but to avail it, then Bishayacharya Shri Rashe Majiya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. One has to consciously, deliberately give up sense gratification, then we can get the actual mercy. Then we can actually chant Hare Krishna. Then we can actually avail of their mercy. But generally people who say like this, that we want to get some special mercy, and they're already cheated and want to be cheated. So what can you say? What can be said to people? Matiena Krishna Paratasva. They don't want to hear. Yeah, what's your question?
Many good people, they oppose the efforts of spreading Krishna consciousness, and by this they go to hell faster than karmis.
People who are inimical, they oppose Krishna consciousness, and thus they go to hell faster than karmis. How do they benefit? No, even they may oppose, but they'll also be benefited. Even those who are opposing are benefited. In Germany, there was so much propaganda against our movement. Every day was coming in the newspaper. Hare Krishna people are murderers, child kidnappers, thieves. Prabhupada said, it's very good. People are every day thinking of Krishna. Devotees were going out and distributing books. People would beat them on the street. Still, somehow or other, they were selling books. So he said that the very fact that they're so much against us means they're giving importance. Giving importance to us. So they're also benefited. They may have to suffer for their offenses. They will suffer for their offenses unless they repent, sinners. But when that offense is cleared away by punishment, then the very fact that they had some remembrance of Krishna will help them. There are many cases also of people who are demoniac who change. There are so many. You can read books about how. There's many books which describe the activities of our devotees in the 1960s and 1970s. And there's one devotee explained that in an airport he was distributing so many books, and there was one worker in the airport who used to harass him so much. And then one day he found this person in a corner reading one of our books. See, because he couldn't understand, why are these people coming out day after day and they're getting beaten by the police and harassed, and still they come out selling books. So he's wanting to read it. There must be something in it. He's reading the book. And he changed. Preaching means struggle, Prabhupada said. Preaching means fighting. The different things Prabhupada says. Here in India at the present time, you don't know. Practically nowhere in the world. We don't have that kind of struggle that we used to have. Life is easy, relatively easy. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.